Welcome all the gamers to the Alpha Gaming Podcast. The podcast is all about discussion of video games and other gaming topics. I am Dale White, the advocate for insanity. Of course, we've got another great episode for you this week with my guest, Cardinal Nerd. I apologize for the delay in getting this episode up. It's coming out today because we had some issues, had some audio issues when I first recorded this episode. My microphone had some sort of problem, so I had to take some extra time to finish editing it as well as record a new intro, because the worst sounding of it was the intro. Some of the other bits might still be a little bit rough as well. Did the best I could to try and fix that. Apologies. It is what it is. Mostly it should still be listenable. The worst of it really was the intro, so I cut that, re-recorded this now. So a big thanks to Larry Spraggins, Cardinal Nerd, for joining me on this episode. It's a lot of fun. Actually, I mean, the recording itself was a lot of fun. I do think it's a really good episode. We just had, again, unfortunately, some technical issues that had to get past before we could release this. So hope you enjoy this. A couple other things, though. All the gaming content's going to be pretty light over the next couple of weeks because of some behind-the-scenes stuff happening. Not all of it's bad. Some of it's actually pretty exciting. It's just going to take a little while to get things going again. I am going to be working on getting some new All the Gaming podcasts scheduled and recorded, as well as some quick thoughts. So more content will be coming. It's just going to be light for the next 2-3 weeks. Hopefully things get rolling again soon. Just be patient. We'll get things going again. But there is some exciting things to look forward to. A big announcement later on in this very episode. Listen in for that. It's not exactly all the gaming related, but it's still a pretty exciting thing. So check that out. Keep checking back in on the feed. Go listen to some of our past episodes while you have a chance to do so, while things are kind of light. Really big thanks to everybody that listened, that shared during the Easter egg hunt. Even since then, I've noticed past episodes are still getting their fair share of downloads, when more so than they were before. So big thanks for all of that. I really appreciate you guys doing that. It means a lot. It really does. If you want to support the podcast right now, the best way you can is word of mouth. Tell somebody. At the end of the day, podcasts, not just this one, but all podcasts, live and die on word of mouth. So share it out. It'll really help. And I've seen in the past couple of weeks how much it really can help with how you guys shared it during the Easter egg hunt. I saw our, unique listenership go up, and that was really cool to see. Not just the listeners, but the unique listeners number going up. So that was amazing. Thank you all for doing that. And of course, also, if you want to support another way, go to the All the Gaming merch store on spring.com. Link in the podcast description. Especially right now with everything going on, it would help me out a ton to get a few extra shirt sales. And keep an eye out on the All the Gaming merch store, because there might be some exciting things coming soon. Can't be too specific, but go buy a shirt, as Fluff said.
Go buy a shirt!
And let's get into it. Larry Spraggins, how's it going? Cardinal Nerd?
I'm doing well. It's a great day today.
That is good to hear. That is great to hear. Glad you are doing well. Of course, you recently returned to streaming, and I thought it'd be fun to do one of the old-fashioned streamer interviews with you, since you've never done one like this. So we can talk about the stuff you do on your stream.
Well, more recent, I've gotten into a addiction of Goose Goose Duck. So a lot of my streams more recent have been Goose Goose Duck. But when I started off, I have been a Zelda streamer primarily. So I'm trying to get intermixed both. That way I don't get burnout on Goose Goose Duck. So, yeah. And I'm going to try to add more variety to my streams later on.
Awesome. Awesome. Of course, you've been on the podcast before, but one of the things I always like to ask new guests, anybody that comes on for the first time, is what was the first game that really got you into gaming? Interestingly enough, as far as I'm aware, you've never actually answered this question on the podcast, despite having been on here several times. There's only a couple of other people that I can say that about. So let's do this and finally get you to answer the main major question that everybody has to answer on here. So, Cardinal Nerd, Larry, what was the first game that really got you into gaming?
Well, the first game, now, there's a couple games that come to mind. The one that really got me into gaming, per se, would be Super Mario Brothers / Duck Hunt. And it's more of a very valuable memory to me. When I was younger, my dad and I would end up playing this game from time to time. And I happened to have several old photos of me playing with the Nintendo Zappers along with my dad while he's playing Super Mario. Very cherished memory that is just stuck with me. And ever since he's started that with me, I've always been wanting to play more games. I've moved on to like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, to Super Mario Brothers 3. Then I completely skipped the Super Nintendo age and got a Sega Genesis from my dad as one of my final gifts from him before he had passed while I was 7. And I got hooked on to Sonic, all the Sonic games, in fact, and several others. But it really didn't kick off until I played or received an N64. And at that point, when I played Super Mario 64 and so forth, that's actually where I fell in love with The Legend of Zelda. This is the second part of the question. Because back then, the initial question, or the initial part of the question, was more a very good memory. And this one is more of a nostalgia and reason for gaming. Some neighbors of mine actually owned Ocarina of Time, one of the original gold cartridge copies. And I was over one day and I watched him play in Lord Jabu Jabu's belly. And with that, they had trouble beating it. And I was just watching and watching because I was fascinated with this level design and game and the gameplay of it. It's like, can I try? They let me try it. And within two or three rounds, I ended up beating the Baronade. And that right there really got me hooked on to the Legend of Zelda series.
Nice.
I eventually got that game and all other Zelda titles since then, and it's just been nothing but gaming since.
Interesting. So would you say like Super Mario Brothers and then Duck Hunt was that the first game that really kind of got the ball rolling, and then Ocarina of Time being the one that cemented it as like, all right, this is it. I am a gamer.
Exactly. That would be the correct way of saying that, yeah.
All right, well, we're going to have to add another to the Ocarina counter. I don't know why Ocarina of Time still the most frequent answer to that question, which we still haven't ever finished playing that game. I'm going to have to sit down sometime before the end of this year and finish that game. I've started it like 3 different times now and I've never finished it.
That sounds like my adventure with A Link to the Past, honestly.
Interesting. I will get through Ocarina of Time at some point. It will have to happen. There's no way I can keep doing this without beating Ocarina of Time.
So with that, I would recommend just having fun with it. I did when I first played, I really didn't care about completing it, like getting all the upgrades, getting all the items, completing all the side quests, so on and so forth. But when I started spending hours just going through every nook and cranny of Hyrule, and I just like, you know what? I just might as well, since I've got this knowledge stuck in my head, I might as well just complete every run I play on Ocarina of Time. So enjoy your first couple of runs, and then once you get used to the lay of the land, go for completion.
What do you think it was about Ocarina of Time that really hooked you? You know, back when you first played it.
Quite honestly, that first memory of beating the Baronade, it gave me a sense of accomplishment. It's like, oh wow, I can do this. So what's the rest of the game like? So at that point, I was like, hey, can I borrow this game? They said, sure. I started from beginning and I was like, oh, cool. I can do all these things. And back then, those 3D graphics were the coolest thing ever.
Right. I think that that's part of my hang up with the game now is like back then on the N64, playing games like Mario 64 seemed so amazing at the time. But now looking back at them, it's like, if I had played Ocarina of Time when it first came out, I think I would have a totally different view of it. And I think I would have probably beaten it a long time ago. But unfortunately, I missed out on it until years after the fact. I think the first time I actually played it was on the virtual console on the Wii. So,
yeah, that's one of those arguments I could pose to Nintendo at sometime in the future. It's like, this was such a great game back in the day, and I know you've released it in virtual console and multiple consoles, but why not do a re-release so that A, people can enjoy the game, and B, you can add more to it now to enhance the game. Which is why if I were to play it again, vanilla, I would pick up my 3DS, charge it, and then go through the 3DS versions, because they implemented changes of the game that gave a better quality of life for future playthroughs for me.
So when you say re-release, you don't mean like, see, like right now, I believe it is available on Nintendo Switch Online if you have the expansion pack.
I would say HD remaster.
Just fully remaster it?
Yes, and not for portable consoles. At the time, the portable console releases were great, but since you're doing away with a 3DS line and you've put all your chips in on Switch, why not make a HD remaster for the Switch?
What about a full-on remake of the game? So, like, totally redo all the dungeons, just like still try to maintain what they were trying to go for, but instead of just up texturing it, like up resing it, actually redo it.
I would be open to play the game, and quite frankly, by either means, I would be down to play it and do the same thing with Majora's Mask. I'm a fan of both games. Quite honestly,
could sell them both together as a package. That would be fantastic.
Exactly.
Yeah, I'm really thinking about at some point just sitting down and forcing myself to play through Ocarina of Time through maybe like the Nintendo Switch Online version. I know it's not maybe not the best version of it, but playing it on the Switch is probably the most easily accessible way to play it for me right now. I do have the 3DS version, but you know, going to, you know, recharging it and I don't know, it playing it on my Switch right now seems like the most I guess logical way to do it.
I would almost be even accept it if they took those 3DS games and just ported them over to the Switch, of course, with some up-resing and putting those games together, since they're such a small game to begin with, and implementing some more quality of life changes. I would be down for that as well.
You know, there's been a lot of rumors about possible Zelda game releases on the Switch. Most of them haven't really fully materialized. I think the Link's Awakening was rumored before it actually came out, but then there was also a rumor at one point that they were going to do the Oracle games that way. That never came to light. If there was any truth to it at all, there was at some point there was like a Zelda 35th rumor that was supposed to be similar to the Mario 35th thing that they released that I think people were claiming was going to have Ocarina of Time, Majora's Mask, and I want to say Wind Waker, but that never happened.
I was very upset. This is one of those things, like, if people just brought it up now, or besides you in this podcast, but if they brought it up to me in random conversation and talked about how great the 35th anniversary was for The Legend of Zelda, it's like, it was not. Not really.
It really wasn't. They should have done more.
I think they provided us maybe a glimpse of Breath of the Wild 2. Was that correct? I can't remember the details.
I think we did get that first trailer where they showed off the... I don't even think that was like at the part where they said, all right, this is Zelda 35th. I think it was later on that we got the Breath of the Wild 2 trailer that showed like the sky area and stuff.
Yeah, the Skyward Sword elements and whatnot.
What do you think that's going to be about anyway? The whole like sky portion of Breath of the Wild 2.
And that whole deterioration of the Master Sword, that's something that shocked me when I first saw that trailer. I was like, oh my gosh, this game can be taken to so many places. I just don't know.
Oh my God, it just hit me. It just hit me. So correct me if I'm wrong here, but the earliest game in the Zelda timeline is Skyward Sword. And that's based around this area, Skyloft, right? Which was in the sky, right?
That is correct, 100%.
Do you think that the deterioration of the Master Sword might be tied to the whole like weapon degradation thing that happens in Breath of the Wild, and this be like some sort of explanation for why the energy on the Master Sword keeps running out? And the way to restore that might be to take it back to where it first got its power in the first place.
Ooh, I like this notion. There are a lot of similarities to that whole weapon degradation and from on Breath of the Wild, and even the Master Sword just losing its energy. That ties back to Skyward Sword. But that would be cool if we got to explore the ruins of Skyloft or various other lands that were a part of the Skyward Sword realm. That would be amazing.
That'd be a weirdly interesting way to tie like the end of the timeline to the beginning of the timeline.
Exactly.
I don't know. I've been thinking about that. What exactly is all that going to mean? And I don't know why that hit me now while we're recording, and I haven't thought of that any sooner than this.
It's because I'm here.
Yes, your added like Zelda expertise flowed through my computer and like hit me in my brain and just gave me this extra think of this Zelda thing. We combined our powers tonight.
Exactly.
I don't even know if that makes sense. But anyway, I'm actually really curious to see like how exactly they're going to implement all this, because they need to do something with Breath of the Wild, whatever the Breath of the Wild sequel is going to be called. We still don't have a name for it. But they need to have something to do somewhere to explore other than just the main land of Hyrule, if it's not, depending on how much they're going to change the actual overworld. So what I've been wondering is if maybe they're going to have the actual dungeons set in the sky. And then you would have some way to go back and forth between the ground and the sky area where the dungeons are. I mean, if you remember back to like Twilight Princess, you did have that one dungeon that was in the sky with those weird, ugly ass Ukus.
The Ukus? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They're horrendous. If we're going to get those things in Breath of the Wild too.
That's a good notion to think about. I mean, this is going to tie back to Skyward Sword, because we're going from land to sky, land to sky, land to sky so many times. I don't know if majority of it's going to take place in sky, or if we're going to be exploring a new part of Hyrule that opened up because of the changes made by lifting Hyrule Castle off the ground.
There's always the possibility that, like, there's something we haven't seen yet, because they only really showed the, like, sky area there in that one trailer we've seen. Is it possible there could be, like, an underworld area, like an underground area as well, that could be opened up because of that, like, an area underneath Hyrule Castle that would then lead to, like, a cave system that would be underground?
This would be a tie back to trailer one, I would expect to be.
So then you would end up with like three levels. You have the main overworld of Hyrule, which, who knows, may have very minimal changes from the first game. We don't know yet. We don't know how significant the changes are going to be. There has to be some changes, obviously, but we don't know like how much. And then you would have the sky area, and then maybe even an underground area you could explore. So that way you could really open up possibilities. And I'm wondering, though, if, because I'm really hoping we get more actual dungeons. And that's kind of what I've been thinking, is maybe they would put the full dungeons within the new areas.
And that's the kind of thing I was missing in Breath of the Wild. Yes, those little mini dungeons, I can't remember, the shrines were a great addition, because it provided you a sense of exploration within those quote unquote mini dungeons with using the abilities of the Sheikah Slate. I like that concept, but you provided us 120 and a lot of them were recycled to just make it harder for us. Like, that's great, but we need dungeons, like full-fledged elemental dungeons, like Ocarina of Time, or we're going to Majora's Mask, Twilight Princess, anything with that had dungeons tied to it.
Yeah,
just give us something full-fledged. It could be something small that could take up to 30 minutes, or it could be something huge with this huge open area that you could explore. Acquire items and beat the boss and acquire, say, a medallion saying, oh, you've beaten this dungeon, you get my power.
Yeah, I really, really loved the shrines in Breath of the Wild, but it did seem like some of them were overly repetitive, especially like the combat ones. And the better ones, in my opinions, were the ones that really did kind of function as mini dungeons themselves. And if they did bring back shrines, I would like to see more of them like that were more of the mini dungeons where you'd have like a puzzle to solve within them, and less of the combat ones. Yeah, you could have a couple of those, but not as many. Or the ones that you just did like some challenge in the overworld and then you would go underground and then they would just give you the orb or whatever. Some of those were a little bit lame. So I don't think they need 120 of them. You know, maybe.
Absolutely not.
I still think they were a fantastic addition, but.
Don't get me wrong. They were good. It's just, I want something a little bit more grandiose, something. Yeah, those mini ones were good, but tie them into something much larger. And don't, and of course those,
the towers, guardians,
the guardians machines. What were they called?
Oh, the ones, the smaller ones that were inside the
divine beasts. There we go.
The big ones, the ones that actually served as the dungeons.
Yeah, those, if you call those big, I mean, Yeah, the insides of the divine beasts were a great concept, but to me, it just got repetitive after the second one. I mean, yeah, there's a lot of rotation. You got to rotate some areas to get to some certain chests. Great, woohoo! But quite honestly, the Ganon fights were amazing, but give us something more fulfilling as dungeons.
Actually, I kind of feel differently about the Ganon fights. I thought the Ganon fights were kind of repetitive. Like, I would have liked some more variety in the actual bosses too. But yeah, they did feel kind of weak as like a dungeon replacement to me. It was interesting the first couple of times you'd go into one, but then it's like, well, this is just the same style dungeon again.
Right. And that's to me where it fell flat. But honestly, I had a good time trying to figure out the Ganon's weaknesses and just being going to certain divine beasts, Ganons, being unprepared, not having enough food, not having enough hearts in your health. It was just a thrill just to try. Oh my god, especially that was the Gerudo one, the camel. I can't think of the names at the moment. But the one you're talking about though. Yeah, the electrical Ganon. It's just, oh my god, this guy's so fast. How do I defeat this one? Because I think it's Rutala. Yeah, so that divine beast, Varudania?
No, that's the...
That's the Goron one.
Yeah.
Banuboros. There we go. Because it's a tie-in to Nibiru from Ocarina of Time. But Banuboros's Ganon, the electrical one, where it's just like nothing but speed. Like, holy shit, how the hell do I go in and attack him with so much health, not enough food, not enough weapons to counter him? It's just, it was a great thrill just to try to figure out the weaknesses while playing through those multiple stages of his fight. And yeah, that was probably the best thing about those dungeons, just the thrill of trying to figure out each of those Ganon's weaknesses with so little health or not enough food or not having enough weapons to be able to fight those Ganons.
I'll give you that. The fights were pretty interesting. I just kind of thought the designs were maybe a little bit boring.
They could have been just slightly better. It's just all red and black. Just
all being the same thing, like four times over. You know what I mean? Like, once is great, but four times? Especially when the Zelda series has had so many really awesome and memorable boss fights. And don't get me wrong, I absolutely love Breath of the Wild. Like, none of those criticisms would make the game bad to me. It's still, even with those criticisms, is still probably one of my favorite Zelda games. Like, top three, even.
Yeah, I was thinking about those bosses. Like some of the great ones, like Stalord from Twilight Princess Arbiter Grounds. That's one of the best implementations of having use of item and the use of the item mechanic versus the actual boss fight itself. That was amazing. I was wanting something along the lines of that, of using a mechanic of your Chica Slate to say, oh, you need to use this to weaken Ganon, so on and so forth. But Arbiter's Ground was one of the... Stalord for Arbiter's Ground is one of my favorite bosses all time.
I also think, not just with like dungeon bosses, but I do think it'd be fun to see maybe a few more extra overworld bosses, kind of similar to the ones that were already in the game, because those actually were one of my favorite parts of the game, that you would just be, you know, exploring, and then all of a sudden you'd come across this extremely powerful Lionel or the stone taluses and, you know, just the Hinoxes, like just coming across these monsters in the middle of the field was really awesome. I think having a few more of those would go a long way, because that was one of the, again, one of the better parts of the game. Enhance, like, go further with that, you know?
Yeah, and the fact that they leveled up, per se, with the amount of progress you made in Breath of the Wild, that was an amazing thing. It went, at one point, you were fighting a blue Lionel, then the next thing you know, two dungeons in, you're already at a silver Lionel. It's like, oh, shit, I'm gonna get wrecked. But yeah, give us more variety of those overworld bosses, like the Hinoxes or the Lionels and so on and so forth.
I think it'd be really great, honestly, if maybe they could tie like the appearance of more bosses to whatever came out during, you know, the rising of Hyrule Castle. You know, they could even use that as the explanation. Like, whatever was down there, whatever corruption was down there, also released some of this darker stuff. And you could, I'd like to see, like, some of the, like, Zelda 1 bosses come into play there. Ooh. Like, can you imagine, like, going through Hyrule Field and you come across a giant Dodongo out in the field?
Yeah, or even the dragon.
Yeah.
That would be cool. And add that little corruption in there just to spice things up a little bit.
Yeah, you could like see it in their eyes or something, you know?
That would be cool. That's a...
Maybe like have it coming out of their eyes, like tears or something.
And even so, to get some of those bosses that were... Well, some of the greater bosses from other games to tie in there as well. Volvagia or Odal... Yeah, Odalwa would be one. I wouldn't consider him great, but Odalwa, for example, or even the dragon from Twilight Princess, or what's the eagle's name from Wind Waker? Oh, gosh, I just went brain dead on that too. Why am I not thinking of all these bosses?
I think that's something that would actually make too... exploration maybe of the overworld, especially since we'll be re-exploring a lot of the same areas, give a reason to make that exciting. If the landscape itself hasn't changed very much, you know, to save some time, I could see that maybe being, you know, some reason like, hey, you know, you're gonna go out into this area, you've been here before, you might know the terrain, but what's there might have changed. Like, you know, there may be a little settlement there that wasn't there before, or you might run into some monsters that weren't there before.
Yeah, 100% agree with that. And the bird I was thinking of was the Helmarok King.
I imagine whenever this game comes out, you're going to be streaming it, right?
Streaming, being in line at Best Buy or whatever store I get pre-ordered at. It's the day one that they release the pre-orders. If there's any like Master Quest version or the Master Edition version of this game, it is 100% mine. I don't care what people say, it is mine. I will be in line. I'll probably get some other Zelda memorabilia along with it, but it will be mine.
Gonna go ahead and pre-order the whatever collector's edition they have for it.
Yes, 100% will do that. I will be broke by the end of that.
It's funny because this has kind of turned into a little bit of a sequel to a conversation we had on a past podcast, the Breath of the Wild special. I can't remember what number that was. But I know some stuff we're going to get into a little bit later is going to be kind of a sequel to another podcast that you and I did with Shabby Sharks, Great Race Through Hyrule. So, little bit of a spoiler for what's coming up, but I do want to kind of shift gears a little bit and talk about some of the stuff you've been doing on stream. You said earlier you've been playing a lot of Goose Goose Duck. For anybody who doesn't know, could you explain what that is?
So To put it simply, it is a variation of Among Us, but with, in my opinion, some better enhancements. It takes the concept of Among Us and adds proxy chat and more roles than Among Us has, to my knowledge. And it, to me, and it just changed from being crewmates and imposters to geese and duck with all and various other neutral roles.
Can you explain what some of the other roles are? Like, I know there's one. Is it what, like Vulture or something, where like you're the way you're supposed to try to win the game is to like go around and eat corpses?
So yeah, of course ducks are your imposters, your geese are your crewmates, and if you're going to tie things to Among Us, but the other roles, which we call, there can be goose other variations of duck roles, which it could be I'm trying to think of some good ones. Like the more recent roles they released were like the demolitionist. Basically, you can't do any standard killing. You have to give people bombs, and they don't go off for like a 10-second timer, and then you get a 15-second timer to try to pass the play hot potato basically until someone explodes. Or even ninja, where after a longer cooldown, you get the ability to to kill two people at once, regardless if they're your fellow geese or two ducks. Or sorry, fellow ducks or two geese. Now, for neutral roles, there's like dodos, which basically are the jokers to Among Us modders. Basically, you want to be the person to be voted off. And they made a change to that to where you could play as dueling dodos, where the role of the dodo itself will not, you'll get two dueling dodos, and the role of the dodo doesn't get released until you do all your tasks and murder the other dodo, or if someone does the murdering of the other dodo for you. Then there's some like Vulture, like you said, where they could, they have the ability to find dead bodies and eat them, and they have to eat so many before they win. I'm trying to think of a couple others. I know there is a falcon, which basically is a sort of like a duck. It's its own role where it must be the surviving person or surviving avian in the game. It can't, if they are the last three left, a timer will go off, and if they outlast that timer, they win. Or if they kill the remaining two geese slash ducks, they win. And those are just a couple examples, but it's a fun game regardless.
All right. So I've played this game a few times. I think it is a lot of fun, but I feel like it wasn't as fun for me personally as Among Us. And I think after a while, I felt the same way about modded Among Us as well, if I'm being honest, especially with proximity chat. I felt like it was fun at first, but then after a while, it's like it took away from sort of the mystery aspect of Among Us, if that makes sense, where you're trying to figure out, you know, the basic idea of Among Us was always, hey, we've got, you know, a couple killers and you're trying to figure out who it is, the whole social deduction thing. Then throwing in proximity chat, the game lost something, lost a little bit of like an eeriness that it had. There's a time when you're out like on a corner of the map somewhere in total silence, right, where things just feel a little bit creepy. And when you throw in proximity chat, I feel like you lose some of that. I don't know if you get what I'm saying there.
Oh, yeah. I get it. You get that eeriness with silence. And the only means of communications during the meetings, and you just type out what you saw and so on and so forth. But you got the proxy chat drew me in because you can get more information passed out to your fellow crewmates or whoever's listening, just so that things can move along faster. Because and no, there's nothing wrong with the chat, because those who can't proxy chat have a means of communicating with chat. But it, to me, it's just I 100% get what you're saying. The eeriness does get lost with it. But at that same time, it adds another element of deception. You could totally totally deceive your fellow crewmates, thinking, "Oh, I was here sitting on this body. I'm a dodo, and I'm just saying, oh, I'm just right here. I killed this person." But yeah, I get what you're saying.
Though I do need to play some some Goose Goose Duck with you on stream some at some point, because it is still fun. I don't want to pretend that it's not.
No,
it's because it, I prefer like vanilla Among Us over that. I don't want to imply that it's bad.
Yeah, and even then, another thing that drew me in about Goose Goose Duck is the fact that the developers there, to me, are very, very much more communicative to their community. They've got a whole Duckscord or Discord for Goose Goose Duck for letting them know their changes are being made or something's wrong with the game. They're applying the fixes or their new releases are coming out, which they just had a stream on the development of the game for a new level and some new cosmetic releases yesterday that was a part of. And it's getting another new stage later on, undetermined, but it's coming soon.
So is it the proximity chat for the game that makes you prefer it over Among Us, or is it the added roles? Is it extra complexity? Is it having more variety in maps, which is something I do feel like is kind of a weakness of Among Us, if I'm being honest?
And I want to say it's a mixed bag. Because the combination of everything, it makes the game enjoyable for me. And having that community to back it with these developers putting their time and effort just to making known about stuff that's happening within the game more transparent than what I'm seeing with Among Us. Gives the game more promise of having a better quality of life because the devs actually listen and implement changes on the spot for these people that voice their concerns.
One thing I think is totally inarguable, though, is for sure that Goose Goose Duck is very derivative of Among Us. Basically, to me, it seems like the basic concept was, hey, Among Us is super popular, and they've also got this modding community that's been doing these things like proximity chat. Why don't we just make a game that is modded Among Us?
I think that's the idea of that was there, but in my argument for that game, it's actually its own game. Just because it's so different from Among Us in aspect of more stages, more complexity, more roles. And the role, and mind you, Among Us, from what I've last looked at, has gone through a lot of changes. And some of these changes make me think, oh my God, this game is so different from vanilla. But, and I haven't played it since the whole Silver Eagle era, or the Silver Eagle. Rivalry.
Shout out to Silver Eagle.
Yes, shout out to Silver Eagle.
This is totally an inside joke, but there's an entire era of Among Us that is just named after Silver Eagle because reasons.
And it all ties back to Among Us, but the next time Silver Eagle and I are in a Among Us or Goose Goose Duck game, I will find you. And I will kill you.
I'm not gonna lie, I really loved those moments in Among Us, where these like weird little things would, especially if you're playing with the same group over and over again. And I'm assuming that's probably true for Goose Goose Duck as well, if you, especially if you play with the same group on a, you know, regular basis, that's, things like that will come out of it. But like, I'm sure you remember also, and another previous guest here on the podcast, Fancy Fox, me and him had a weird thing that I don't even remember exactly how it started, but one of us would always end up killing the other one whenever they were on cams. I'm pretty sure I was killing him every time he was on cams, and then he finally got a chance to kill me whenever I was on cams, and it ended up going back and forth. It eventually got to the point where we just started killing each other whenever we saw the other person on cams, even if there were witnesses. Like, we just started getting sloppy about it just because, all right, well, it is a thing we have to do now, you know?
Oh, gosh. Yeah, that was, those were good times. Yeah, I don't know when it started. I'm in the same boat, but somehow he would always end up on cams. And when you were a killer, you would just go slash, walk away like nothing happened in dead chat. Box would just be, what the hell? Yeah, but having a regular set of people that you play with on a regular basis gives another level of fun for that game.
That's funny. You mentioned Silver Eagle there. Me and Silver Eagle were both imposters in one of my favorite games where that happened, where I saw Fancy Fox on cams. And I went up and I killed him. And there were like three other people in the vicinity. None of them saw it happen. And we had to go around like picking them off. And we ended up winning the same round.
Oh, man. That had to have been fun.
It was crazy. Well, the funny thing about that particular game, if I remember right, I had gone to the bathroom. And I come back halfway through I came back during the meeting after the first round. There was one person dead. One person. And I had missed the entire first round. I didn't even know that I was imposter until I come back and saw, oh, look, my name's red. Oh, look, the meeting's going on. You know, so I just come back. Oh, I just got back from the bathroom.
Open syndicate was slow killing, and syndicate must be an imposter. Let's vote him out.
So then nobody got voted out. And then me and Silver Eagle just went on an absolute murdering spree there that I set off because I killed Fancy Fox. And there were tons of witnesses around who didn't actually end up seeing anything. So,
yes, those are good times. 100%.
I miss a lot of that, I'll be honest, but it seems like that game very much died down a lot, and it seems like it's very difficult to get a game together for that. Everybody who used to play that has gone on to other things, and I think that there's something to just fad games like that. Like, I know Fall Guys had a similar thing where it was really popular. The difference seems to be, though, Fall Guys didn't seem like it got quite as huge as Among Us did for a while there, but it does seem like more people go back to Fall Guys now than people go back to Among Us, which is weird to me.
Well, you got to consider the times too. The Among Us was, I believe, a 2015 game that just had a cult following per se, and then of course 2020 happened. And everybody's just isolated. What do? They find Among Us, and once that sparked fire with a couple of well big known names, everybody just starts playing. And I think that's
a good point.
I think at that, because it was such a popular game, it became a fad because of the time. And
that time's different now than it was at the time. People have started getting back to their lives and like day jobs and stuff that you know, where they physically have to go into their jobs now. People aren't working from home anymore. So, and people are actually going out and doing things. So that probably has a lot to do with it too, where that type of interaction that Among Us gave people has been replaced now with the things they were doing before Among Us.
I 100% agree with that.
And I wonder too, if that means like a game like Goose Goose Duck, having built in voice chat maybe is doing a little bit better, because to get like a voice chat game together for Among Us, you had to get together on a Discord server, and that meant like physically going out and not like physically leaving your house, but like getting on Discord, finding a group of people, and then getting everybody together. And there was scheduling to that. And at that point in time, so many different people were playing. You could go on any Discord server where people had been playing, say, hey, we're going to play some Among Us later. And then you'd get, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8, sometimes all 10 people be like, hey, we're gonna jump in there. And then now that's just not possible.
Yeah, a lot of that's probably scheduling. I mean, weekends are great for a lot of people, but I think because it was such a big hit that and everybody was playing throughout that, throughout 2020, 2021, that they got burnt out. And because they were burnt out, they just really don't feel a need for playing the game. And I think this is going to tie to some of our group, our crowd, is that with the exception of a few on Goose Goose Duck, is that we want to play, but it's just, I don't know. But I think a sense of burnout is there somewhere for some.
It's definitely a factor. I don't know which. I think the burnout probably had a lot to do with the initial fall off, because that was still during the pandemic was still going on pretty hard whenever it seemed like the initial fall off happened. So I'd say that probably had more to do with burnout than anything. I was getting there myself even with the game, and I loved playing it during that point in time. It was kind of hard not to, because how much a lot of us were playing it. But, you know, at this point, I would say that sense of burnout is gone. It's just so difficult to find a game that, like, I don't have the interest in fighting that uphill battle to try to get a group together.
And this is where I found Goose Goose Duck and their community to be real helpful in finding games, because I wanted to get back into playing something similar. So joining that Discord and finding out a few streamers that few well-known streamers, I'm saying probably with it, that have up in the upper 900 to 5,000 followers, they play on the regular. So I was like, and they continuously have open queues that go on. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to join this one queue for this streamer. And lo and behold, I'm a big fan of his, in fact. And I think I'll give that person a shout out later.
Cool. So any other games that you're planning on playing on stream besides Zelda or Goose Goose Duck?
Well, I talked in the past, not on podcast, but I want to try to play Glover, because they recently
Did they come out on Steam?
Yes, they re-released it on Steam. I want to play that, and another game that I really want to stream would be Tunic, which is basically a non-hand-holding Zelda.
Isometric style Zelda, right?
Isometric style Zelda with no hand-holding whatsoever.
So basically more old-school Zelda.
More or less, yeah. I've played a couple of, like, maybe 20, 30 minutes of it. It's like, oh my god, this to me, I'm thinking back to...
It looks really good.
And mind you, it looks great, and it's fantastic just to play it because it's new, fresh. For the detail amount of detail to put in the game, it's great. But I'm used to like Zelda with there's some kind of hand holding somewhere in the beginning. Not as bad as Twilight Princess, but the hand holding's still there to get you through to show you the mechanics, but there's absolutely zero.
I had forgotten how bad Twilight Princess's intro was. It was
so long,
dense before it ever really opened up. I love Twilight Princess, but it'd be hard for me to replay that with the first couple of hours being what it is.
Oh, that intro is just so long and so dull. And I was just like, get me to a dungeon without hand-holding, please.
that whole, we've got to point out that Link's just the farmer, and, you know, he lives in this village. And
Rustle up those goats.
Right.
Oh, we got to rustle up the goats again. They got out. We got to stop a goat from leaving the ranch. We got to find a baby basket. We got to get a fish.
Oh, man, I forgot about that one.
We got to help the kids shoot targets and destroy a scarecrow. It just went on and on and on. That's one I really want to play. I've got my Wii U hooked up under my desk, ready to go. It's just, I've got more interest in other games at the moment.
Right.
And that reminds me, I still have Wind Waker to finish because I started hard mode on that.
Nice. Speaking of like rumors that I had mentioned earlier, there is a rumor going around right now that they might be porting the Wii U. And this may not be true. So take it with a grain of salt, but they may be porting over the Wii U, basically the Wii U ports of Wind Waker and Twilight Princess.
Yeah, I was going to say Twilight Princess and Wind Waker HD. Is that what you're thinking?
Yeah, I've heard that they might be looking to port those two to the Switch, possibly as like a two-pack thing.
I'm not holding my breath. After the 35th anniversary, I'm not holding my breath.
There've been so many of those types of rumors that it kind of makes sense, but it's also kind of like, I don't know. And Breath of the Wild sequel should be coming out next year. But then again, it was originally supposed to come out this year, right?
That is correct, yes.
It's one of those things like, all right, now how long have they known about the delay? And how badly do they want to have a Zelda game to release this year? Because if they knew about the delay happening soon enough in advance, and I don't know how much work would need to be done to move those two ports from the Wii U to the Switch. I don't know how much extra work would need to be done there. If it's a low enough effort project that it, you know, that might be possible, depending on how far in advance they knew about the Breath of the Wild sequel delay. Because I don't know.
Well, I know the biggest hurdle, other than the controls and the operating system switchover, but the biggest hurdles for me, my guess, would be the integration of the Miiverse in the HD versions on the Wii U, because they had some Twilight Princess. What was those Hylian letters? In some of the chests, and in Wind Waker, they definitely had a Miiverse integration where you can capture pictures from other players for the trophy collection. And I know I used that heck out of that. Those two implementations should be nixed or even integrated to the Switch Miiverse somehow. Is
gone, so
yeah, those two things would have to go and get scrapped.
Is there something that they could replace that with?
Yes. This would be a perfect time to utilize the Switch app on the phone. That would be the perfect way.
Actually, maybe, yeah.
That would be perfect.
I totally forget about that because I do remember like downloading the app when they first announced it and seeing like how you could go on there and like browse like custom content from Smash Bros. Like, you know, you could see the stages and stuff that people had uploaded or people's screenshots and replays and stuff, which was actually legitimately pretty cool feature. And you could go in and like if you found a stage, like a custom stage or something that you liked, you could, you know, get the information for it. And then whenever you turned on your Switch, you could then go in and find that stage more easily. I forgot about that, but I actually used that app for a while there when I was doing the stage builder post for All the Gaming before the podcast ever existed. Yeah, I wonder if that could, that's actually an interesting idea, because that would be probably preferable to just scrapping that entirely. I don't know what would be more work, just like remove that feature from the game or to change it over to something else.
Well, I know the Switch has that capability of taking screenshots. So if you take a screenshot of a boss or even the picture of the boss and upload it to, and mind you, I forget how the integration of the app works with the Switch. But if they had a feature where you can up, like, sort of put it on your, tie it to your profile and have that tied to your account on the Switch app and then share it, you should be able to do the same thing going back to your Switch and get those pictures and use those for in-game. That would be an idea I would definitely try to implement to get the port going.
That's an interesting idea. I don't know if there's anything to those rumors or not, but it would kind of make sense again if they knew about the delay far enough in advance. And I really don't know that information or not. I'd definitely say take it with a grain of salt.
100%.
But it would make sense, and I think I would legitimately be interested in picking that up if it were real.
Yeah, I would. If there is a port for those games, if we can bring all the games in just one console, and I'm not talking about the digital releases like the Switch Online service, I'm talking about hard copy or even a digital copy that you could play on the system without an emulator. That would be more valuable to me. That way I could play any of those Zelda games I wanted anywhere.
Yeah, if they can just figure out a way to make the Four Swords Adventures game from the GameCube work without Game Boy Advances. I still think I legitimately think that is an underrated Zelda game.
And the Four Swords that was a fun game. And I did, that was one of those games I did enjoy what was it, Game Boy Advance? Yeah.
The GameCube one, you had to have the Game Boy Advances connected to your GameCube to be able to play it.
Yes, you did.
And if you could ever actually get a group of people with enough of the connecting cords and actually play that multiplayer, and I actually did a few times, that was a lot of fun to play Four Swords on the GameCube with people with the Game Boy Advances. That game was a lot of fun to play co-op.
Understandable, yeah. I didn't have that availability. I just played it single player, but it was still fun single player.
I mean, yeah, it was good single player, but the best experience you can get out of that game was definitely playing it with at least one other person.
And I don't doubt that. I was just availability of friends who had Game Boy Advances and that game.
And the cable you needed to connect to your Game Boy Advance to
exactly
the GameCube. So it was not easy to pull off, but it was a lot of fun. If they could somehow bring that back, I'd be excited for that. Of course, we're getting low on time, so there's one more thing I want to talk about here before before we go into the outro, of course, I think you know what I'm referring to.
Oh, of course.
So you just recently, a while back, returned to streaming. You've only been back at it for, a few weeks now?
I believe 3 weeks is correct.
Yeah, so I think I might be joining you in returning to streaming in a couple weeks. Not on the same kind of basis that I used to, but on a limited basis. And it's because I'm going to be joining you for an adventure.
Through Hyrule.
Yes. Like I mentioned earlier, that this would be a little bit of a sequel to the episode we did with Shabby Sharks, where you guys had gone on a randomizer race through A Link to the Past. So we're going to announce this right now. We're going to do the same thing. Myself versus Cardinal Nerd on Twitch, starting what, May 21st, I think, is the day we decided, unless something changes.
That is correct.
So yeah, we haven't given a specific time yet. So go follow Cardinal Nerd's Twitch account. He'll have updates there, I'm sure, whenever we
get to, yes.
And yeah, we're gonna do a race, a randomizer race. And I'm going to take him down. I'm going to pluck the Cardinal's feathers and spread them all over Hyrule.
Well, you can do that, but just know that you are the challenger.
And I am coming for my title. I will be the next champion.
I will be ready for it.
I'm going to pluck your feathers and spread them so far and wide over Hyrule that the 999 Korok seed quest is going to seem like easy in comparison.
Oh, you had to bring up the Korok, the little pieces of shit quest. Oh, God. But, oh, Lord. But yeah, no, you're going to go down.
All right, we'll see about that. So yeah, randomizer race. We're going to see who can complete the game the fastest. Yeah, that's going to be happening soon. And I think we're pretty much out of time here. We actually went a little bit longer than I was expecting, but this has been a lot of fun tonight. So thanks for coming on again.
Oh, no problem. I had a blast doing this podcast for sure.
Yeah, it's always a pleasure. Of course, before we wrap up, is there anything you would like to promote? Obviously your Twitch channel, but anything else, any social media, anybody want to shout out, anything like that?
All right. So I had mentioned earlier that I was going to give somebody a good shout out that I play Goose Who Stuck with regularly. His name is G_Force Rex, G_Force_Rex. He is actually streaming right now on Goose Who Stuck, which today would be a Saturday. He does weekend streams of Goose Who Stuck, sometimes other games, but mostly Goose Who Stuck since he is an ambassador for the game. Good people, the crowd that he plays with, 100% fun to play with. You might catch me on there every now and again if you get to join with him. So if you are interested, go to his Twitch channel, type in !join to join his queue, and then you'll be set. Just have a blast. And of course, I'm going to be promoting my channel because, hey, I'm a streamer too. Check me out at Cardinal Nerd, twitch.tv/CardinalNerd. I am streaming right now Ocarina of Time Randomizer per the request of Sir Magic Penguin. And of course, Goose Goose Duck.
Give Sir Magic Penguin a shout out too. He's pretty cool.
Yeah, Sir Magic Penguin, he plays a lot of... he's a variety streamer. He does different games. I know he's played Neo 2. He's played Dark Souls. He's into Elden Ring. There's a tree in the thing background, a big ass golden tree. I just know that Elden Ring. He's actually doing a swordless run of Ocarina of Time right now, and various other games. So check him out. He's good people.
He's got fantastic dad jokes.
Yes, he does have fantastic dad jokes.
All right, well, thanks for joining me. And of course, go follow me on Twitch as well. if you want to see my side of that race coming up, because we're both going to be streaming it, be able to jump back and forth and see us both progress through it. Trust me, it'll be a lot of fun. If you don't believe me, go back and listen to the episode we did before with Shabby Sharks, where we talked about this, about their race, because that was a really fun thing for me as a viewer to watch, was when the two of them played. And so go back and listen to that episode. I think it's 62 is the number of the episode. So go back and listen to that. Of course, go back and check out all of our past episodes on all the major podcasting platforms. I have noticed since the egg hunt a few weeks back, a lot of the older episodes have been getting downloaded pretty regularly. Downloads from previous episodes, even since the egg has been found, has been up. So apparently a few people think that, the past episodes of this podcast are worth listening to. So go check them out if you have. And of course, podcasts live and die by word of mouth. So I would really appreciate it if you go and share it out somewhere. And if you want to support us in another way, you can, of course, go to the All The Gaming merch store on spring.com. So go buy a shirt, like Sir Fluffy Snugglebutt said.
Go buy a shirt.
Of course. Thank you all for listening, and we'll see you next time.
Yeah, see y'all next time.